This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. A large budget for homeland defense has created something of a gold rush for new gadgets. Scanners will peer into people's eyeballs or measure their cheekbones. Machines will x-ray everything from rail cars to hat boxes. Computers will intercept emails and translate Arabic newspapers. All of the new electronic eyes and ears will generate lots of new data. And experts are devising ways to glean useful information from all the informational clutter. NPR's Christopher Joyce reports.
Before the world went digital, scientists and engineers gave Americans tangible things. Plastic, transistors, blue jeans. Now information is the leading commodity, and experts provide information processing. You can't touch it or feel it, but an event this year reminded people how important it can be. It was the discovery of a memo from an FBI agent in Arizona about Middle Eastern men training to fly jets at aviation schools. That bite of information never got processed. This summer, FBI agent Colleen Rowley told the Congressional Committee just how hard it is to process information at the agency. Senator Patrick Leahy asked whether Rowley could search the FBI's computers for the term aviation schools.
We have no way of doing that. We can put a word in.
You could put in aviation.
I think we could.
But you couldn't put in aviation schools.
No.
So you might get...
You would be getting aviation and you would just be getting records that you couldn't possibly review.
Records so voluminous, she said, as to be useless. Drinking from a fire hose, as intelligence analysts sometimes put it. Congressman Mark Kirk, an Illinois Republican, is a former naval intelligence officer. He told NPR he realized just how much information is flooding analysts when he worked at the Pentagon War Room.
I would get about one message every second. An analyst, for example, looking at Latin America, would get 1,400 messages a day. There are huge, what I would call vacuum cleaners in the sky, sucking in information for the foreign intelligence agencies. But sometimes we get so far behind in collecting information that we find critical information too late, as we did with September 11th.
The billions of dollars spent on homeland defense will inundate intelligence analysts with information. Photos from satellites, intercepted emails, banking records. Someone or something has to separate the information from the noise. You might call it information awareness. In fact, this year the government created a new office called Information Awareness. It's at DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. Robert Popp is deputy director. He says America's electronic eyes and ears were designed to watch a behemoth, the former Soviet Union. Terrorists are harder to spot, but they do leave a trail.
You know, a terrorist organization has the field soldiers, if you will. They also have leadership. They also have specialties. They have spiritual leaders, and they have, scientists. So there's real organizational structure.
Organizations make transactions, phone calls, purchases, even statements to the local media. Information scientists have to pick out the useful signals from a snowstorm of harmless transactions by ordinary people. At the National Science Foundation, Gary Strong has been advising the CIA and other intelligence agencies in something called data mining. Companies like advertisers will dig through mountains of consumer data to glean buying habits. Intelligence analysts are mining a much bigger vein.
I think the nature of data is different than most people conceive of it, such as streaming data and different media, some video, some speech, some text.
Even a discovery you can actually lay your hands on, such as Al-Qaeda computer drives found in houses and caves in Afghanistan, contain lots of data, disordered and mostly irrelevant.
It's not a database, but it's information. It's there. And it's so frustrating to know that probably that hard disk contains something I need to know. But how to find it is a big challenge.
You can mine data by writing certain search rules for a computer, rules that recognize patterns of behavior, for example.
Let's say in some country they've identified a cell that had been planning an event, say blowing up on a bridge in the United States, and they have pictures of the Golden Gate Bridge or something. Even though it never happened, those are important features of a pattern relating to the cell and its activities. Those patterns like that could be collected.
That collection might be called a pattern base rather than a database. But having the right information in hand isn't enough. People need to share it quickly with others who can make use of it. There's new technology to do that, too. It's being tested by a military team near Washington, D.C.
Did anybody develop an enemy course of action?
A retired Marine general confers with three other generals linked by a phone line. Each sits isolated in a cubicle, staring at a computer screen. Today, they're defending Louisville, Kentucky from enemy attack.
What I developed was the idea that the enemy will initially come up this route with a supporting attack and try to draw us in or fix us down.
The generals are the blue and green teams in a war game. When one draws on the map on his computer screen, they all see it. They can click and drag in data about each other's troop positions and air support. The bad guys, the red team, are in another room, led by former Marine Corps officer John Schmidt.
Well, what's happening right now is that all of the blue players and the green player are sort of talking through what they believe the enemy, and that's us, may be trying to do to them. And what's interesting about this is anyone now can go and essentially look into anybody else's thoughts, because whereas before you used to sort of have to contain all of this stuff in your own head or on your own paper map, now you can sort of take these ideas that are contained in your head, you can make them explicit and put them on display for everybody else.
This is a test of a computer system called Commotion, made by a company called MayaViz. The idea is to allow partners to share intelligence instantly, whether it's about company inventory or an enemy.
If he gets in those built-up areas, let him stay in.
Well,
we don't want to fight him in there.
That'd be a good place to slow him down and attrit him.
How? You don't want to send maneuver units in there.
No, we'd have to be with the air and if we could stand off with
anybody. Are we going to just generate a lot of rubble with his infantry and just get him?
How might this computer system help fight terrorism? Its creator, Steve Roth of Pittsburgh's Carnegie Mellon University, says intelligence analysts need two things. The first is information liquidity, instant access to the data that led up to your partner's conclusion.
Second is, not only do we want to share the data, we want to share the thoughts that people have about the data, the hunches about where terrorists might be, the hunches or early hypotheses about why they're doing what they're doing. Our approach is to take this idea of a nugget of information, and pour these into a distributed pool, if you will, so that everybody can get access to them.
Better technology will give the government lots more information about everybody. At the moment, laws such as the Federal Privacy Act limit how much personal information federal agencies can share with each other. But Ben Schneiderman, a computer scientist at the University of Maryland, warns that may change.
The mood is somewhat shifted, and the feeling is, well, if one state agency collects certain data, they should share it with another agency. In fact, the criticism of the FBI and the CIA was they were not sharing. So now, under these new constraints, there are opportunities to do good, but there are dangers as well.
The imminent danger, say many computer experts, is that the government's disorganized database system could actually get much better. Scientists are ready to fix it, and the money is on the way. What those experts worry about is whether the technology will outrun the public's ability to control it. Christopher Joyce, NPR News, Washington.
More on data mining is available at the website npr.org.